Are you ready to go back to school? If not, you're going. This is one of the mandatory classes. You ever had a mandatory class on your job? Well, you're on the job and this is mandatory. Hallelujah. And we're just going to believe God to do something great on the inside of us. Because we're going to have to train ourselves. We got to train ourselves to stay in alignment with what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's key. That is key, that we train ourselves. See, I can't train you. You got to train yourself how to stay in alignment with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus. Now, turn your Bibles to Matthew 25. Very, very familiar passage. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we're going to start reading at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom, now this is very familiar, we've taught from this before, but let's see what the Spirit of God has to say today. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then they all got up. They all virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now look at verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, say ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now here they come afterward, always late, came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So what did we just learn in this passage? A, they all knew that they were going to a wedding. And they all knew the bridegroom was coming. So it wasn't no such thing that they had not heard the gospel. I'm coming where you're living this morning. Now listen, this is not a mean message. This is my disclaimer. You need to grow up. They all had lamps. That's B. B, they all had lamps. Who was responsible for the lamp? They were. C, 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Not because they didn't have lamps. They were foolish for a reason. What made the foolish foolish? The answer is in verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. See, something they didn't do that created no oil. And they said, give us some of your oil. Now, what else do we see in this scripture? The foolish was used to relying on someone else's supply. Now, I say it again because that's a big thing in the body of Christ. They were used to relying on someone else's supply. Look at Hebrews 3. We going there this morning. Might as well get your, look, go ahead and loosen your belt. Take your tie off if you have to. No, go to Hebrews 5. I apologize. Hebrews 5. And let's look at verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Okay, there we are. Hebrews 5, verse 12. He says, this is Apostle Paul, for the time you ought to be teachers. He said there should have been some progression. But we're going right back to verse chapter 25 in Matthew. They hadn't progressed. And there was a reason they hadn't progressed. It says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first, say the first principles. There are some things nobody should have to teach you again and again and again. They should be staples in your life. Oh, Jesus. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Say unskillful. Now you can talk about me, but this is what the word said you are. You are unskillful in handling the word of righteousness, for he is a what? Baby. Oh. Why? Because strong meat belonging to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Huh. So when we go back to Matthew 25, what happened in with the five foolish? The mindset of too many Christians has been, I know I'm not prepared, but I know someone else in the church is. They always have spare oil. So I'm not going to work on my oil, although I know I need to. You heard the gospel to go and pray in tongues. You heard the gospel to fix your house, put some order in your house. You already heard that. You've already heard you need to reroute everything you do and bring it under submission to the word. But you don't feel like it's for you yet. Pastor Diana has oil. Pastor DJ has oil. The ministers of the church, they got oil. But I don't need to pray in tongues like they do. They are prayed up. So why do I need oil? I just go to them and get an answer. And that's a problem with a large part of the congregation of the righteous. You got a bunch of illegal babies. Because you ought to be teaching by now. You should be usable. If you've been here a year, you should be usable. Ooh, Jesus. So this is a serious problem in the local church. You don't want to be left out of anything, but you never sense the need to become a contributor. Now, those of you online listening, you have an escape. Get your Bible and follow, because this is for you too. Hallelujah. Now let's read verses 5 and 8 again. And Matthew, I want y'all to read it out loud. Let's look at Matthew 25. And let's look at verse 5 again. Read it along with me. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. So in other words, wait. What you're saying to me, the unprepared said to the prepared, give me what you done labor for. Because I'm not willing to labor for the same thing. Woo, this might be a short message this morning because this is going to be tight. Give me what you were ostracized, criticized, lied on to have active in you, because that's what it takes to be anointed. Amen. That's what it takes to be full of oil. You can't have life as usual and stay full of oil. Woo. I want you to just give it to me and give it to me now. When I got a need, you should respond. Even though I ain't gonna pray. I'm not even gonna bring no faith when you pray for me. You're gonna have to do the believing. You'd be surprised how many people expect you to believe for their need while they don't believe nothing. They don't believe what you prayed for them. They just want something to happen at that moment that take the pain away. They're not looking for a problem to be gone away. They're looking for pain relief. I'm not interested in doing all you had to do to get the oil. Isn't there a shortcut? Like, pray for me. Now, I know I'm teaching better than y'all clapping, but that's all right. As a pastor over the years, what I've seen in this, in a lot of congregations and also in here, you always have a small number of people who are fully invested and fully prepared. It's like the remnant. Then there's another group that is always unprepared and not fully invested. And sometimes as pastor, we mistakenly put more pressure on those that are prepared. You got to hear this. That's because we can depend on them. They're always showing up asking, how can I help the vision move forward? We're not having to drag. See, as a pastor, you need to understand something. When I go to pray, it gets difficult sometimes to pray for some of y'all because you never, ever step up. You want me to ask you to do something. And when I don't ask you, and somebody else does, oh, I could have done that. Well, how we know you know how to do it? How do I know if you want to do it? So now, after much correction by the Holy Spirit, I am coming to fire you up, those who have been tagging along. I'm putting the fire under the pot for you this morning. Now, let me say this before I move on. This is still not a hate message. It is designed to move you to the next level. Now, on that note, if you have received a guidance session from me, Pastor DJ, Minister Jalen and Casey, or your brother and sister in the Lord, for the same thing, you are not to receive another guidance session on that. And y'all hear me? Don't you disobey me. They don't need another guidance session. They need to obey. They need to spend time. Now, what you can do is encourage them in their prayer life. Encourage them to pray. And listen, when I was growing up, we had Sunday service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then Friday night was breakthrough night where you prayed. You didn't have no music. You came and got on your knees. And whatever your issue was, you prayed till you got the answer. If it took us to 11:30 at night, people stayed until they got the answer. We're going back to the old way because it always worked. And that way you can't blame nobody for your failure. Because if you disobey what God tells you, something wrong with you. What am I saying? It's you need to be here on prayer night. Stop missing prayer night. You got issues? That's where you get them prayed through. Because listen, no matter what we talk to you about at the close of the day, you still got to do the word. Because growth is the mandate of the day. Now go to 2 Peter. I told you it's going to be a little tight. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Are you still there? Y'all all right? Okay. I know we trained you to understand this stuff, but, you know, sometimes we get caught up in life, the cares of life. Yank you around. If you're not careful, you're not even going to have any strength. And I'm trying to avoid you being depleted. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith, like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through, you need to highlight that, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power have given unto us all things, said all things. Said nothing has been left out. Said again, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers, say partakers, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we must all become word-fed and spirit-led. We cannot do your part, and neither can God. So Rapture Worship Center is going back to simple basics. I am not going to assume that what you know anymore, even though we've been teaching you. This is an attempt to bring all of us on the same page. I don't want you to just be busy, but I want you to become the Word. Ooh. Many people learn church behavior and can perform a job, but that's not who they are. I don't want performers. I want skilled oarsmen. In this hour, we are not looking for just skill alone, but do you have any oil? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Question. We're going to come back to 2 Peter in just a minute. I have a question. How would you grade yourself in the knowledge of God? Not just repeating what you heard here or what you heard some other minister say. Not repeating what you read in a book that's not the Bible. But what do you know? If you had to go through whatever that machine they call when you get on the airplane, if you had to go through one of them and it registered how much you knew about God, would they let you through the gate? Or would you be classified a terrorist? We're not talking about what you can repeat. What do you know? What is your knowledge of God? Would you get an A, a C, or a failing grade? What are you investing into your mind to know about God? Oh, Jesus. Look at Hebrews 3. See, it's got to be something you invest. Look at verse 7. I don't want you to do like the Israelites. They heard it. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, they saw what God could and would do. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they don't know me. Error comes because you don't know God. He said they didn't know his ways. Woo, Jesus. Listen, you can't defend the one you say you love because you don't know enough about him. If you married to somebody, how can you defend them when you don't know them? You don't know if the person talking about him telling the truth or a lie. Now, see, I tell you, I'm going where you live. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of what? Knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. See, every time you decide, I don't need to pray in tongues. I don't have to study as much as pastor. And maybe you don't have to, but you should. And nothing wrong with you studying as much as I do. It only can help you. You think that extra study is just for leadership? You're a leader too. You're leading somebody right now. Be it your family, your coworker, your boss, you are leading somebody based on the way you live every day. He says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now, that's a dangerous place to put yourself and your family, is that you too trifling to learn the word. Because you think what you're dealing with is greater than the word. Now, this lack of knowing, first of all, one, makes you an easy target for the devil to be a stronghold in your mind, makes it easy for you to be deceived and offended. Because when the word comes like this, it's easy to get offended when there's no word present. Ooh. Secondly, a lack of knowing causes you to be incorrectly dependent upon someone else's prayer life. We are supposed to pray for one another, but I am not your surrogate prayer partner. I'm not supposed to do all your praying, and neither should your brother and sister in the Lord. Now, I want you to write these down. If you don't have no paper, borrow some. If you got a phone, put it in your notes. I want you to write it down. Write down these two things if you're going to go with this church to the next level of greatness, because this church is going to greatness. Number one, you are going to have to read, say read, the Bible. This book, you had to read the Bible, not a commentary. Wow, what a new idea for Christians. Read the Bible. If it wasn't so serious, it'd be a joke. You're going to read the Bible for the purpose of knowing the Bible. We're going back to basics. You're going to read for the purpose of knowing the Bible, not trying to learn something to discuss or to debate. You're going to have to read the Bible if you plan on growing spiritually, period. That is your operation system. The Bible is your operation system. So for the next 3 months, write it down. I want you to do something you've never done or haven't done in a long time. It's called immersive reading. I heard Casey use the word, and I was over there about ready to jump out the chair. It's called immersive reading. This means you're going to get absorbed in it. This means you're going to immerse yourself into the scriptures. Not in the commentary. Don't take notes. You're not even going to look up definitions. And if you don't know how to say the names, keep right on reading. Do the best you can with it. And you're going to read from Genesis to Revelation. And don't skip a book. And I have provided for your convenience, because see, I'm always looking out for you, a chart. Got all 66 books in it. How many of y'all know it got 66 books? Who can tell me what book came after Daniel? Nope. Hosea. See, you're guessing. You don't know. Prime example. You don't know. You don't know your Bible yet. And it's like a hard drive. I'm going to get back to my, I haven't forgotten this form. How many of y'all remember when we had computers and you had to put disk in them to get the information, you know, and it pulled from the disk? It was searching to make sure you had enough what? Memory to run the disk you were putting in there. You know, y'all standing on the word for a whole lot of stuff, but you ain't got no memory to run the program. And it's taking you forever to get answers because your memory's short. You don't have enough, what they call, is it RAM? Am I right, son? Oh, Lord Jesus, y'all better stop messing with me. The Holy Ghost and I are becoming real smart. You don't have enough RAM to run the program. So when you hear the word on prosperity, when you hear the word on healing, when you hear the word on God to do this and God to do that, these things come and they inspire you to go do something, but you ain't got no memory to bring it forth. And then you get frustrated. But it's your problem. So in this form, we got all 66 books. I've told you how many chapters each book has. Now, and I even broke it down for you. We got 1,189 chapters in the entire Bible, which means in 92 days or 3 months, you can do 13 chapters a day. However you get it in, don't use the Message Bible as your primary reading. It's too wordy. And you're not going to remember what they said. The King James is preferred, but if you had to use another translation, the NIV, the Amplified, but not the Message. I'm trying to break old habits in you. Oh, Jesus. So we got 1,189 chapters. And can we do this in 3 months? Absolutely, because you know what? I'm going to do it too. Although I've read the Bible before, I'm going on this with you. Because it's a refresher's course. Now listen, I'm not gonna make this a mandatory if you don't want to do it. The forms will be available. You can pick them up from Sister Mary after service. But if you don't want it, don't pick the service the form up. Because if you take it home and I see you getting it, because I'm going to stand by and look, see who grab them. If you take one home, I'm expecting you to do it. Because if I took the time to go through all this for you, you ought to at least have enough. Don't take it if you're not going to do it. This is for those that are ready to grow. And I don't want you reading the, and listen, don't do this on your app. Don't do an iPhone, iPad. Get you a Bible. The real book. The real book. When I'm at home, I study by the real book. I got at least 3 or 4 Bibles in my bedroom. This is the real book. And you got to get used to handling the word. It's something about picking up this word that begins to tangibly touch your flesh. Whew. Now, there are other options on the form if you can't do all at one time. I broke it. See, I'm trying to look out for you, but you got to start somewhere. If you're going to do just the old, that's 929 chapters. You might as well do the whole Bible. Because you still got to do 10.1 chapters a day. What's more? What's 3 more chapters? If you're going to read the New Testament only, that's 260 chapters, which breaks down to 3 chapters a day. And if you're lazy, that's what most people going to do after you go take. You're going to take the easy road, the 3 chapters a day. And then you're going to fight doing 3 chapters. See, that's a flesh problem. And you need this exercise. Now, as silly as this might sound to some people listening, you need this. Because this is the problem we have in the church. It's hard to teach people that don't know the language of the Bible. You don't know what God has promised you. So I don't want you to use a computer, your iPhone, your app. We want a real Bible where you have to turn the pages. But I want it, what I want is for each of us to become literate, say literate, in the scriptures. Because a lot of the issues you deal with right now is because you got a knowledge problem. I need you to get used to handling the word. I want you to be able to defend the Bible if you have to. You go out there and you try to hobnob with some of these sinners and they'll run you in the dirt with your ignorant self and make you look like a fool when you should be able to defend the Bible. Like I said, don't skip one book. If you can't pronounce the names, do the best you can and keep right on reading. And in this 3 months time frame, I don't need you reading no extra Bible books, no Bible aids, the Bible only. Now, if you're a teacher like Pastor did, we might have to do something different because we got to do this twice. We got to do it for ourselves, then we got to do it for you. So you never consider that. I got to live spiritually just like you got to live. So what I'm studying, what God give me to minister to you is not necessarily what I need to live on at the moment. So I got to study twice. He has to study twice. So when you want to prosper, walk in health, get your families fixed. But we don't know what the scripture has said about none of those things. You just going on what we told you. Let's look at 2 Peter again. Can y'all handle this? I believe you can. You strong. You can handle it. And you know I love you. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because the Spirit of God just began to deal with me. He said, you can't keep teaching them principles because they can't push it through. There's nothing they can do with it. And I'd rather that we go slow and you learn it right than to keep trying to get you to do something that you can't do because you're not equipped yet. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 5. Because we're going to see something here. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, what? Add what? So I'm supposed to be ever increasing in my understanding. I'm not supposed to hear 5 scriptures and then go sit on my laurels or my hind parts and like that's the end of the scripture. Because the word is pregnant and it's ever increasing. And you got to learn how to keep up. This is why you need to know the word and you need to pray in tongues. Because the word is ever, 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 ever increasing. It's always expanding. And to knowledge, you add temperance. And to temperance, patience. Woo. Temperance and patience is a missing commodity in the body of Christ. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound. So if virtue can abound, if temperance can abound, if godliness can abound, so can knowledge. And it says, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be what? Barren nor unfruitful in the what? In the what? Knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Woo, Jesus. So all the promises and everything that pertains to life and godliness is hinged on our knowledge of God and of Jesus. Yes, I know that I'm supposed to be well. But what do I know about health according to this word? Yes, I know I'm supposed to be rich. But what do I have to do according to this word to make that be alive inside of my house? That we don't know. And what you do, you come to church looking for a formula. But you don't know the word. See, you love me. You love Pastor DJ. You love this church, but you don't love the scripture yet. And that's your operation system. Everything operates from the word. So if you're trying to get manifestation, but your operation system cannot push it out, there is not enough word in you to make it work. Not word you have heard somebody say. There's not enough word in you to make it work. Food is only good for your body when it gets inside. Not because you smelled it. Not because you saw it. Not because you know who cooked it. It's only good for your body when it gets on the inside. Now it can become nourishment. That was just point one. Now the second thing you're going to do, you're going to change your prayer frequency. You have been with us far too long, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 17 years, and you still don't have a mature prayer life. Somebody got to always remind you to pray. That's over. You don't pray, you don't have no answers. Now, we're going to be praying one for another, but we're going to be praying accurately. And we're not going to become your substitute prayer warrior. No. You got to get in there. Let me ask you this. If you treated the corporate world the way you treat the word, would you still be employed? Selah. Because some of y'all handle your job better than you do your than this word. If I ask you about your job, you can rattle it off. But you can't quote two scriptures. This is not meant to offend, but to grow you up. This is not a mean message. The church doesn't have forever, say forever, waiting on you to grow up. When it's simply you resisting because it's not what you are ready to do. Because growing is deliberate. What I want you to be able to do, I want you to be able to touch heaven without a song or a musician. Nobody should have to arouse your flesh for you to get in the spirit. They are aids and tools that help us in praise and worship, but it shouldn't be required for you to get your feeling. No, we want you to know why you're shouting. We want you to know why you're joyful. Because I got the word living on inside of me. I want you to touch heaven without a song or a musician. So on that note, when we come this Wednesday for prayer night, there will be no music. It's going to be just us lifting up our voices in tongues. We're going back to where we got on our knees and prayed. In tongues. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm excited about it already. Hallelujah. Why you want to do this, Pastor Daniel? Because you need to know for yourself that heaven knows your voice. And all of heaven will respond to your voice. Not enough of you know that God will hear your cry. hear your voice. This is why when you get in a pinch, you're ready to run to somebody else instead of doing what the word says to do. Because you don't think your voice got enough power. But, man, the more words you know and the more you pray in tongues, we ain't going to be able to hold you down. Some of y'all going to break out and be somebody you never knew you were. You're going to stop being that little timid. Ain't nobody timid. It's just a lie of the devil. Listen, the word is only the only thing designed to transform you. Sermons don't change your mind. Sermons may inspire you, but the word informs you. It's your daily intake of the word that informs your mind. Why? Because deception is real. Therefore, we must become knowledgeable and full of the Holy Spirit. You will not be used in this final hour before Jesus returns if you are lazy and uninterested in the word. I'm telling you. Don't say, Lord, I want you to use me. Quit crying because you're in a tight space. Lord, I want you to use me. Then he said, okay, I need you to pray 2 more hours a day. I didn't hear that, Lord. Just imagine what our services would look like when all of us are fully immersed in the word. Let me tell you just a few things that's going to happen. Our minds will be renewed. Mental struggles will be gone. Money will get better. Relationships will be healed. Desire to win people to Jesus will accelerate. We will begin to talk to one another from the word, and this will eliminate gossiping and shade throwing. You won't have time to gossip or throw shade on somebody. You'll be too busy talking about, you know what, I read in the book of Acts, and I read in the book of John, and I read out of Matthew, and I saw in Isaiah, and I saw in Ezekiel, and I saw in Habakkuk. That is a book in the Bible called Habakkuk. You got always got one in the bunch. But I'm telling you, there comes an awareness in you that you begin to stop talking the silly, mundane stuff of life, and the word becomes the prominent, dominant thing that you talk about. I have conversations with people just out of necessity, not because I'm loving it. Because if they would talk about the word, now I'm turned on. You know, the longest conversation I have with people are people that are talking about the word. Woo. I'm getting ready to close because I feel like y'all going like, Pastor, can we get some relief? Your whole life is tied to your knowing the scriptures. How does faith come, people? By hearing the word, and not just from the pulpit. Hearing you read it to you. So if you'll never read to yourself, faith doesn't come. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, you don't have to turn there. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And this department, we good on trying to get the spirit man fed and stuff. But he says, and with all thy mind. Verse, he said, this is the first and great commandment. What's the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second one is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When I do right by me, I'm going to do right by my neighbor. When I'm full of the word, I'm going to do right by my neighbor. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything, all the law and everything the prophets ever talked about, it was hinged on these two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Don't leave your mind out while you're trying to renew your spirit. It's a commandment to get your mind straight. Did you learn a thing this morning? Come on. Stand to your feet. We're going back to the basics, people. And those of you online, you need to go back to the basics, because we miss some things. And sometimes we get so spiritualized that we forget that we need a prayer life and a study life. We feel like picking up or listening to a good teacher on TV is all we need. No. No, you got to get back into that closet. You know, how many of y'all saw the movie War Room? You need to get back into your closet and have the scriptures hanging everywhere around you. Take your Bible in there. You don't need no music. Just you and the Holy Spirit. Shoo.